From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Fans of Bleed Blue Show, another edition of the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud, an icy road episode. Rangers on the West Coast. We're going to have that dialogue with RP. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. You can stream our episodes live on BleedBlueShow.com. Of course, audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Without further ado, let's bring on the man himself, Ranger Proud, for Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud, on Instagram, Elite Sports New York Writer, an architect of the Rangers fan base, RP. What's going on, sir? How's everything?
Good, Steve. How's it going tonight?
Good. Are you ready for some West Coast stay up late hockey tonight?
No, but I'm going to do it anyway.
So you had a long day, man, or what's good?
No, it's just, they're just long days. They're, you don't mind staying up when you win, when you play the way they did against LA. Yeah, you kind of mind. So let's just. We'll have to determine if it was a good night up, or one of those miserable nights that we've had recently. But
I understand.
They're back there against the wall, brother. Let me tell you, in about 3 minutes, the Rangers are going to be out of the playoffs, as the Penguins are going to defeat the Hurricanes here. They're going to put the Rangers down on the outside looking in, at least. Until you see what happens, you know, with their game tonight. But it's going to be a position I don't really think they've been in for a while, you know, maybe the first 3 weeks of the season and all. So they got to get their things together. They're not playing good hockey right now, and they need to figure it out on the fly.
All right, before we get into all that, let's bring on Jessica, a fellow Rangers fan like ourselves, RP. Jessica has done a great job with KGYR and leading the Rangers charge. And Jessica, bringing her on to talk to Rangers with us on the Ring Podcast. Jessica, what's up? How you doing?
What's up? Hey, RP. And yes, I'm going to try to stay up with you, so my coffee is on. Amongst other alcohol, depending on how we look at going into the second period.
Oh, my goodness.
I hear that.
What a bad...
The scotch might be flowing.
Oh, yeah. L.A., it's like as soon as we went west to Avalanche territory, it just went downhill between injuries, penalty kills.
Yeah, it seems every night it's something else that you didn't expect to fail the team. It's failed the team. The Avalanche game was a surprise. I knew they were playing well, and they had won. I think it was 8 in a row up until that part. But
yeah,
they really, really played well. They jumped all over the Rangers. The Kings game, you would have never thought the penalty killing was going to fail as dramatically as it did in that game.
I understand the injuries, but seriously? I mean, they need to learn how to stay out of the box. That was ridiculous.
And they learned how to kill a penalty off a little bit more. But you are right. Five starters were out of that game. So you knew it was going to be hard. The same thing with the Colorado game. But you know what? Every team has
injuries. And right now the Flyers are beating the Red Wings, and I'm like, and the Penguins are beating the Hurricanes.
Yeah. The Rangers are going to – look, playoff hockey started already for the Rangers. I got news for you. They're not going to run away with it anywhere here. They're going to
I believe to the end. I still pray.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But, you know, they're going to have to do that little doggy paddle, Steve, and try to stay afloat here
until
they really figure out what's going on.
They don't always coast in. They always fight their way in.
I don't care how they get in. But you want to know something, as we were talking about last week, getting in isn't the key.
Yeah.
If the Rangers get into the playoffs, they get knocked out in the first or second round, they might as well just not make the playoffs.
I was going to say, if they get past the first round, it depends who they're playing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This isn't what the goal of the organization is.
No, but then again, look at these people. If Shattenkirk was truly hurt in September, what the hell are they doing surgery now? Why do you wait 3 months?
Nobody wanted, everyone thinks you can just fight through it. I don't, let me tell you something. I really don't believe that's why he played so bad. Because on the power play, he was putting
points up. Oh, he wasn't earning his pay. Who are we kidding?
No, he wasn't earning his pay, but I just don't think he's as good as – I think Barry Trotz is right from Washington. I don't think he's that top 2-3 defensemen.
No,
and
absolutely.
It showed like
no,
that.
I agree.
And it showed like that now, with or without the, you know, the knee injury. I'm sure he might have played a little bit better if the knee wasn't as bad as it was, but I don't think it's going to make that dramatic of a
difference.
And
truly, we miss Kreider at this point.
And I think we may see a totally different team by the time Kreider and Shattenkirk return. Especially if the Rangers
can't. I think if Kreider
returned,
we'd be a different team. I mean,
you know, I like that.
One night without Grabner, and look what happened.
But that's like 7 weeks away, though.
We're
talking about
Kreider,
though.
Yeah, no, yeah. Talking about any of these guys that
that's
are
a long
now
time.
Is going to be an issue.
Exactly.
You know, the Kreider, I don't think, like you said, dude, I don't think he's going to come back this season. Shattenkirk, when he comes back, the Rangers could already be booking golf by the time he comes back. Now they're saying, it's funny, there was no real announcement about his surgery yesterday, which I found unusual. Normally you'd read, oh, it was successful, and it was good. And
he had something on his page.
I missed that.
He did put something on his
Rangers,
page.
Everything
either
is
on
indefinite.
Twitter or something. Somebody
yeah,
actually
everything with the Rangers is
on.
Indefinite, if you notice. They don't put...
Mm-hmm.
It's not, except for Hayes' injury, which they knew wasn't going to be bad. Everything is... He's out indefinitely. They don't give any more time frames. So you really don't know what the extent of it is.
This is
hold on, before we continue on, let me ask you both a question. Guys brought up the elephant in the room. Well, actually, Jessica did. The penalty kill on Sunday versus the Kings. RP, can you explain what happened in the second period? You already got 2-0. I thought the keys of the game started early on with the VC line. They set the tone. It got to a nice 2-0 lead after the first intermission. Can you tell us exactly what you saw through your eyes with the PK in the second period, which was a disaster versus the Kings?
Oh, the whole second period was a disaster, Steve.
They were getting beat
hold
to the
on,
puck
Jeff.
On the PK left and right. They showed that they were, I don't know if they were tied with the quick swing from the Colorado game. I can't really put my finger on that part of it, but if you watch the penalty kill, their Rangers were getting beat to the puck the whole time. They weren't as aggressive on the penalty kill. And it happened fast. I mean, they scored 3 power goals in a little over 9 minutes.
It was like
what
no defense.
What you would have thought was going to be the positive. See, I thought that fight that Smith had at the end was the let's get the team going. But what happened was he took the extra 2 minutes, which at the time you said, all right, that's worth it because, you know, you got, you know, the momentum, but it backfired dramatically. And, you know, and sometimes that happens, but no one expected him to play that bad on the penalty kill. I mean, I have other issues. I think, Steve, if you're asking what's going wrong, I think he's overplaying Lundqvist, and that's not a bad thing. But when you play your backup goalie, your team changes their structure. All right, we got Pavelec and goal tonight. We got to play a little bit tighter on defense. You know, get the puck out. Don't make those little fancy plays because you don't know if he's going to be there to make those great saves. And when him playing Lundqvist, this is ridiculous. He's going to play
the whole
game.
He's playing him again tonight. He's ready on the ice.
He's playing him tonight, and I'm almost sure he's going to play in San Jose. Because then they're off for a week. The Rangers are not concerned.
And Pavelec's
on the
All-Star good.
Game. Something's up. You know, but this is typical AV. If he doesn't have faith in you, you don't play. Look at Buchnevich until recently. Look at JT Miller last year and the year before.
And how much he changes those lines.
All the time. So he is – this is – you know, what we have to deal with. I'm just taking a look at tonight's lineup, and I don't know, Grabner, Holland, and Fast, and Carey, Desjardins, and Leterrier are the second and third, or the third and fourth lines. Once again, I don't understand his lineup. Why would you put Holland on the third line and not Leterrier? I know you need the center. I would have Desjardins up at least on the third line, not Holland. And Desjardins scared the other night.
He plays wings,
so
he plays center. It's pathetic already.
He doesn't. He just keeps, I don't know. You know, Steve, you try to figure out what's going on, but how you come up with some of these lines, and the team is struggling tremendously scoring goals, especially on this road trip and a couple of games other than the Buffalo and Florida game early in the month. And I mean, the Nags, the Banajov, Buchnevich line is fine, and Miller centering VC and Zouk, you say, all right, that's a decent line. But why would you go with Grabner, Holland, and Fast and Carey, Desjardins, and Terrier? You would think Desjardins would be the third line center because he's just more of a playmaker than Holland is. I just don't understand it. You know, I have no problem with Letarier or Fast on the third or the fourth line. The Letarier gets a lot more scoring opportunities, though, I noticed, than Fast. He hits the post a lot, but he does get a lot of opportunities. If you're trying to find goals, won't you put your best six, your best nine on those first three lines and see where it goes? But he just, it's just not his logic, so just got to deal with it.
Hey, Jess, you want to add on to anything what RP was saying as far as the lines? I'll weigh in on my
No, opinion. I agree. There's no rhyme or reason for what AB does with those lines, to be honest. I mean, I scream, I yell. It does. I mean, I wish you could hear me, but, you know. I mean, the last 10 games, they've gone without Grabner, Staal, Hayes, Shattenkirk, all these people scoring. You know, all these people hurt at different points.
Let me address a couple of points real quick, and then we'll go back to other areas of this team. Well, first of all, with the PK in the second period, and RPU was right. It seemed like a step slow. I thought Drew Doherty and Alec Martinez, the defenseman for the LA Kings, whether they were on their power play units or not, really, and not even just that, just the even strength alone, just kept the Rangers really off guard with their offensive tackle. They've always given us problems over the years, even in the Stanley Cup Finals. But that was something. This is something to be a concern of, because there was something that we could always lean on, despite the lack of goal scoring this year. Where pretty much in one game, it looked real, real flat. I'm hoping that we could not carry this over into the Anaheim game. But also RP and Jessica, I want also to add that you saw a little bit of the PK kind of stumble in the Buffalo game, not necessarily the Colorado game, because they didn't really face a lot of power plays. But in the Buffalo game last Thursday, there was. I don't know. Maybe Buffalo has a good success with the power play because they did it a little bit in the Winter Classic. RP, what's your thoughts as far as PK? You have any confidence, or it was just a one-game blunder? Then, Jess, we go back to you as well. First, RP.
I think it's the PK has been really good the entire season. So you can't just say, okay, well, now it sucks after just one bad game. Unfortunately, of course, the Rangers the game, so it leaves a bit of a sour taste in your mouth. But I anticipate them coming out tonight and having a much better penalty kill than what we saw. I don't think that's going to be much of a problem. It's been the highlight of the season. So if that becomes a problem, we're really in trouble. But seriously, I expect them not to have any issues with it tonight.
True. And I think also, you know, to be honest with you, I think Nash has impressed me the last couple of games where he hasn't almost all season. I mean, he's more impressive seen patrolling in the middle of the ice and just hustling more than I've seen him do all season the last maybe couple of games. Where, you know, it's like, where's he been? So I just look positive at it and hope that, you know, we could pull us out of this little slump that we're in and, you know, maybe score some goals. Because, I mean, Hank's doing his job, but you can't win games if you're just blocking them. You have to shoot the puck and actually score.
Do you think that's a flash in the pan, RP, with the Nash scoring in last week, per se, in the Buffalo game? You think we're going to get more scoring out of that? That's going to carry over into this West Coast trip. Now we got to go to Anaheim. We got to go to San Jose. You think we're going to get some of this, more of this scoring? Because this last game versus LA, they only had 23 shot on goals despite the 2-0 lead in the first period. Where is the scoring going to come from, or is it going to come from? Are we going to have to rely on more guys like veterans like Nash, or how do you look at this, RP, and then we'll go back to Jess?
And he's a real streaky scorer, Nash. He has been his entire career. You just hope it would last more than the two games, you know, the four goals that he had in those last two games before they went on the West Coast trip. So, you know, he's always playing well, but he's not scoring a lot of goals. We've all talked about it. It's nothing that nobody, you know, hasn't seen before. So I would think he would keep, you know, at least keep his hot streak going a little bit and keep getting at least good shots on net and all. But like you said, you know, the other game, I'm hoping they were just tired. It's hard to say that, though, because they don't score a lot of goals. I mean, they've only scored more than five goals once in the last 10 or 11 games, I think it is. They don't score a lot of goals, and we've spoken about this too. They're other than Michael Grabner there, we're going to score by committee kind of setup. I mean, they have, what is it, eight or nine players that all have over 10 goals. No other team in the NHL has that, and that's a great when you're reading it. But when you're on the ice and you're looking at the games, they don't score a lot of goals. They don't score a lot of timely goals. And what really hurt the Rangers, it wasn't so much how bad the penalty killing was in the game with the Kings. When they were up 2-0 and got that power play, they really needed to score it. It would have been late in the game. It would have given the Rangers a 3-0 lead, and the momentum would have really been on their side. Instead, it turned it around. They didn't score on the power play. A couple minutes later, they have the fight to end the period. We're shorthanded to start the second, and the nightmare began. So it's a combination. It's not just one aspect of it. The penalty killing hurt, but special teams needed to be better than it was. Their even strength scoring has been invisible. That needs to get better. There's a lot to it. There's more than just one problem right now.
Yes, I agree. They need to step it up to their A game. They got to realize they're not, you know, just playing games anymore. Every game counts.
Yeah, pretty much. This team is in the dire straits where it's like one win, you're back into the playoff picture, and one loss, kind of out of it. And this is the kind of the hole you dug yourselves earlier in the season. You got swept by Colorado. You struggled versus bad teams. You had some games in hand where you could have got 2 points, like earlier this year versus division foes. But the Rangers have no one but to blame but themselves. And now I don't want to put it on the injuries. All teams go through injuries, and that goes kind of what to the team we're playing tonight in Anaheim, RP. I'm going to go back to you because the last time we played Anaheim, they were missing a lot of their players. They were at the time when we played the Ducks at home, they were missing Corey Perry. I think Ryan Kesler was missing like 30-plus games, Patrick Ease, but all those guys are slowly started to come back. Corey Perry's been back for a while. Kesler has been back for about 11 or 12 games, and Patrick Ease is literally into his third game back versus the Rangers. They're finally getting back to strength. Now, they've lost big versus the Sharks on Sunday, but their last two wins before that last week were very impressive wins versus the Kings and the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, RP, how do you look at this game versus the Ducks? Because I looked at the Ducks as always a big physical team that like to work the boards. And the Rangers, usually if they have their puck control in check and use their speed, they usually have success versus the Ducks. As you already know, remember that game you went to last year at the Garden when they used their speed all over the Ducks. But if they get into a slower game, that kind of plays into the Ducks' favor. But what's your take as far as this game versus the Ducks? And then I'm going to go to Jess.
You know, this whole West Coast trip is always tough for the Rangers. They just don't seem to play well in Los Angeles. They don't seem to play well with San Jose. Anaheim was a game, for whatever reason, like out of those three games, the Rangers have the best opportunity to win. The problem with tonight's game is there's a lot going wrong with Rangers, not just tonight, but through the season. And it's peaking again as it was in the beginning of the season. The Rangers is not just getting the first goal. The Rangers need to score goals. But they're not going to win if they only put two or three in the net against this team. It's the truth, and they know it. The Ducks know it. The Rangers are going to have to find a way to start getting the puck into the net. It can't be – they're not good enough defensively to play a 3-0 or a 3-2 kind of hockey game because they're still making way too many mistakes on the defensive side of the play. So the Rangers need to find a way to get 4 or 5 on this team. Very hard thing to do. The Ducks are starting Gibson. He's been playing really well. We know all the firepower that the Ducks have. Keselyak is a Ranger killer. He always is. So it's going to be – I don't want to say they're going to lose. I mean, I always have confidence when the Rangers play, but that's a little bit of me being too much of a fan and a little bit of hope that I always have for them that they're going to pull it out. But that's just how it is. But it's going to be another real difficult game. And you know something? Either way, it's not a great road trip because, as we discussed last week, I figured they needed at least 6 points out of this trip. And either way, they're not going to get that now. The real fear is that they only win one or none of the games on this trip, which would just be a devastating road trip for the Rangers as the standings are so tight right now. So there's a lot of pressure on the Rangers to make things happen right now.
Jessica, anything you'd like to add?
I agree as far as, every point counts. I mean, we need these 2 points, and we're not good when we go across the country onto the West Coast. There's no question about it. Just look at our record. I think we're also overplaying Lundqvist, and yes, I know he wants that cup desperately, but he's got to also realize he's got to rest a little bit in order to be well. But once again, he's another one who, when he rests more than a few days, you have to wonder about his comeback day, because it takes him a minute or two to get his legs back. We have to play 60 minutes of good hockey tonight. We have to get down. We have to get dirty and just, you know, because we have to be fast. Once we slow down our game, we're Anaheim's game. So they really have to be on their A game. Can it be done? Yes. Will it be done? We can only pray and hope. As to me believing, I hope I can stay up late enough, because I always panic to the very last second. I mean, I literally, there could be 17 seconds left, and I'm sitting there going, no, please, God, don't let them, please, get it out of the zone. I don't care if they, you know. So, you know, can it be done? Like I said, yes. I hope we can just take it, go with the 2 points, and go to San Jose and get another 2 if possible. I pray, I believe, and, you know, this is, my, you know, my temple's MSC. What can I say?
I look at a guy like Rick and Raquel, who leads the team in points. We had a little bit of trouble with him last time we played him. I remember, RP, the last time, I think we did a post game versus the Ducks earlier this year when we beat them. They were really banged up with injuries. And we really held Jacob Silverberg in check in that game. I remember specifically saying that on the podcast whenever that was, a couple of months ago, when we played him at home at Madison Square Garden. That's still the assignment, whether Ryan McDonough, Stahl, whoever, you got to put a buy on that guy, because if he gets loose, it's really going to be a long night for the Rangers. Jacob Silverberg, you got Rick Rattel.
But we passed too much.
We got Ryan Getzlaf. We got all these guys that they starting to play well in the last couple of weeks heading into 2018, RP. And then even with that said, I don't want to overlook this game knowing that the Sharks are playing well. And I know the Sharks and the Ducks are in the same division. They got points they have to accumulate too. But I agree with both of you guys. It's easy to say that we got to play with puck control and possession. They got to play complete 60 minutes of hockey. But will they do it? I mean, we say the right things, but do you think they will? And what kind of game plan approach are they going to do with all these guys in and out of the lineup? RP, how do you look at this? It's the same thing with Jess as far as the next 2 games versus the teams on the West Coast.
Well, they haven't played a complete 60 game for most of their games. They know to do it, but they also know to be prepared when they come out in the first period, and they tend to have horrible first periods and give up early goals. It's been the same conversation the entire season. I think the Rangers need to go into this game tonight and just literally try to just take it one period at a time, one shift at a time, because that's all you can do at this point. All the players that you mentioned, Steve, are all their top players. Raquel, Getzlaf, Silverberg, Corey Perry. I mean, these guys all have over, you know, 20 points. I mean, Raquel's got 35 points. Getzlaf's only played in 24 games this year, but he's got 28 points. They're just a tough team. Silverberg's got 23 points and 11 goals. They're a very tough team to battle. And in all these games that we play, the Rangers don't have the firepower to keep up. I mean, that goes back to the Islander game, which was the first game after the bye week break. And it continues to, aside from a game here or there, the Rangers just don't have the firepower to keep up with these teams. So maybe they really have to start coming as a 5-man unit more on defense, which I know AV or someone had mentioned today that that might be the way that they might want to start going. I don't know if that's going to work or not, especially with 30 games to go, to change your entire team dimension is very hard to do at this point. But AV has to try to do something because things are not working out in any aspect. But this is pretty much a must-win, and it's a tough must-win. The Rangers cannot come out of this road trip 1-3 or 0-4. I mean, I think if they come out 1-3, you're going to have trouble. AV's going to have trouble keeping his job. If you come out of this 0-4, I don't see how he stays. And it's not all on him. You can't fire the whole team. And you want to know something? You can't blame it on injuries, because every team is battling injuries. Mm-hmm. It's part of the game. You want to know something? When the Rangers had no injuries the first 2 months of the season, they weren't playing that well either. So where's the time when someone says enough is enough? Either make a couple of big daring trades and see if that'll work out, which it probably won't because the Rangers are more than just one or two players away from winning the Cup. So I don't think one or two trades is going to do it. And if that's not the case, of course, it's easy for me to say, well, then get rid of the head coach, because what's the very next question? Well, who would you bring back in? If you're going to give it to Lindy Ruff, you might as well keep Elaine Vigneault. Nothing. No one in the organization is going to change anything in these last 30 games. There's not enough time. If you have someone coming from the outside that just has a different outlook on things, it's a little bit different. If you're going to do that, then the Rangers might just write it out. But you want to know, fans want to see something change. Recalling Peter Holland is not what we're looking for. And I don't know if the Rangers, tonight, Darren Drager of TSN said, there's been a lot of talk for Grabner and Nash. There's a lot more to it than just trading Grabner and Nash, especially Nash. Nash has to give a list of 12 teams he would even want the Rangers to talk to if they wanted to move him. And as of today, he hasn't been asked for that list. So if there hasn't been any talks, it's been nothing serious. The Rangers have a lot of decisions to make, which makes keeping your coach, firing your coach, making the playoffs, or not making the playoffs that much harder. So they're going to have to decide with the contract. They have a lot of guys that are unrestricted free agents. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to try to sign them? Are you going to let them all walk? The trade deadline is less than 4 weeks away, and we haven't heard any news about contracts. And this all goes back into, like, tonight's game, believe it or not, because the team is struggling scoring where they are now because they haven't made any moves since July. And when they made the moves in July, it was for defensemen, not forwards. So none of this is a surprise. The lack of goal scoring is the same we had last year. So I don't know where they go. I think you just take it a game at a time here. Try to get a win out of Anaheim and worry about San Jose on Thursday. Worry about the All-Star break and all that afterwards. But the team and the coaching said they all have to be squeezing those sticks a little bit tighter tonight because they're in a real bad spot out of nowhere. And I'm sure no one expected the Rangers, after the way they were playing, to not be in a playoff position going into this game tonight. But that's the reality of it.
All right. Hey, Jessica, we're going to get into our final thoughts. You have any final thoughts right now at the state of the Rangers before we head into this game versus the Ducks as well?
I agree with RP. I think they have to take everything very seriously at this point. I think they know it falls on their shoulders as well because the beginning of the season, they literally had a lot of work to do to get to where they are, and they still have a lot of work to go. And this goes back, like he says, more than just this year. I think the beginning of the season until they got to that Halloween game against Vegas, they really sometimes didn't even show up to the game. And whether it's a staffing issue or a player issue, at this point, taking away AV is not going to do anything. You might as well let it go through the rest of the season and then decide and redo your whole darn team at that point. You know, take each game, each shift, and go from there. I agree, and I'm positive. Let's just hope we do have a good game tonight.
Thank you very much, Jessica. It's great to have you on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud here on the Bleed Blue Show. Jessica leads the charge on our KGYR forum for the NYR squads, man. Look forward to the dialogue and the game threads with Jess, man. Thank you very much, Jessica. And RP, please, your final thoughts as well, and let everybody know how you can be found on social media, your articles, and your content for our New York Rangers.
I'm on Facebook at Ranger Proud, Twitter's at Ranger Proud, Instagram's Ranger.Proud. You can read my stories and my fellow writers at EliteSportsNewYork.com. Check out the website. And, you know, final thoughts is they need a win. It's simple tonight. I don't care if it's a one-goal win, if it's a blowout, if it's an overtime, if it's a shootout, whatever. The Rangers somehow need to find a way to get 2 points and get back to their winning ways. Because it's like quicksand. The more you lose, the harder it is. And they really can't afford many more losses here. I mean, this trip is almost over, but there's a lot of hockey to be played. You know, they're not out of it by any stretch here, but they have to find ways to start getting some wins. They have to find ways to get winning streaks so they can start putting pressure on the other teams.
All right, that is Ranger Proud. That is Jessica, myself, Steve, the Ring Podcast. This episode is going to be on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. There's nothing else further to say. Let's go watch this game. Hopefully our boys win. Other than that, Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Thank you.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.